When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Mondays with Ryan G. Hensley. I'm Grant L. Cohn. The L stands for lender. How you doing, Ryan?
Grant, you're taking my gig, bro. I'm good, man. Did you shorten the intro? Because it's like...
Yeah. Just a short and sweet one today. I don't know why. Just felt like
I like the full intro, Grant. To be honest, man. I like that gets me going. So, for future references.
You like the full intro? All right, hold on. Yeah. I like that too.
That's what we needed.
All right. It's the official show now. We're here. It's Monday. Yeah. It's Memorial Day. And we're working. Talking about a team that hasn't played in months. I love it. This is what I like to do. Yeah. There's so much to talk about too with the 49ers today. And we're going to talk about something you've been talking about on Twitter. Brock Purdy versus Colin Kaepernick. That one's going to be fun. But I'm going to wait on that one. First, we got to talk about Christian McCaffrey. He's not at OTAs. It's voluntary. But Nick Bosa is there. And Kyle asked him to come. And Bosa had to go because they paid him. I don't think they can make that request with Christian McCaffrey. He has his own desires and grievances or whatever. Don't we all?
Yes.
What do you think of Christian McCaffrey missing this? And do you think he's undercompensated?
Well... And clarify if I'm incorrect, but I think a lot of he's missing it. So there's two things going on. He's missing it because of his wedding, supposedly, maybe. Mm-hmm. But also, he does want to get guaranteed money. I think both things can be true. And maybe part of the reason why he's missing it is agents like, hey, dude, if you get injured, there's no guaranteed money. You should probably sit this one out, go to your wedding, then address it. But I know that it's been reported he wants to get guaranteed money, and he should. He's the number one offense player of the year. He's the number one weapon for Kyle Shanahan's offense. I have mixed feelings about paying players, right? I see it from their perspective. I also see it from the organization perspective. He's already the number one paid running back in the NFL. But he does more for this team just as a running back. Really, if he was just a running back, then I would say they're overpaying him. But because of everything he does for this team, the threat as a passing threat, big game breakaways, big play breakaways. I understand where he's coming from, and I think all these players need to go after their money. Is he undercompensated? No, probably not, because he's the highest paid running back in the NFL. And so he's good. But then when you see guys like Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel are going to make more money than Christian McCaffrey when Christian McCaffrey's their number one weapon, like it's almost like, who cares what my position is? Like, look what I do for you. So I kind of get it.
Well, think about it from this perspective. Brandon Ayuk is not showing up to OTAs, and everyone understands why. Like, oh yeah, $14 million they're asking him to play on this year? That's disrespectful. You know, like, he shouldn't be there. That's part of the business. Well, McCaffrey's scheduled to earn $12 million this year, 11.8 to be exact. And everyone's like, what's the problem? You're a running back, which is true. But at the same time, from his perspective, if I were him, I'd be thinking, okay, you can call me what you want, but I'm the best player on this offense. I was the offensive player of the year. Everything goes through me. So if Ayuk wants to be upset and hold out for more money because he's only making 14 plus, then why do I have to show up if I'm only making 11.8? And you can see, again, you could say that this is what comes with playing the position, but let's see how you guys do without me, at least for a week.
I get it, man. Like, honestly, it really doesn't matter what position you play. It shouldn't really matter what position you play. Now, I know there's a going rate for certain positions. Like quarterback, you're always going to get more to eat, more than, like, a decent quarterback is going to get paid more than the best wide receiver. It's just how it works. But with Christian McCaffrey, they just have him, you know, they're on a running back pay scale, but he does a lot more. And like you said, he's the most effective, the most utilized, the best offensive player, maybe outside of Trent Williams, on the whole entire team. So I get it. I mean, if I was Christian McCaffrey and I know I'm the damn workhorse on this team, and I see Debo and Brandon Ayuk getting, and George Kittle getting paid way more than me, I'd probably want the same thing, especially with no guaranteed money. Like, no guaranteed money coming in this season? I don't.
I feel like that they're, people aren't really talking about it, but it seems to me like there's, the players and the front office are a little at odds right now. And like the last few years, it was sort of understood on this team, you want to take a little less. And you guys are going for a Super Bowl. So it's not really about how much money you're going to make. I mean, you'll make a lot, but if you take a little less, you can keep this thing going, win some championships, and be immortalized. They didn't win the Super Bowl, though. And it seems like now the theme of the offseason is, I need to get what's mine. And the Niners' theme of the offseason is, we need to get people to play for less than market value for one more year. And I don't know if they thought Eric Armstead would take the pay cut or what, but Armstead said, absolutely not. I'd rather play for the Jaguars. I'd rather make more money in Jacksonville than sacrifice for another quest for six. Like, nah, Jacksonville's fine by me. And it seems like Ayuk's attitude is, you know, I could go to Jacksonville, I could go to Pittsburgh, I'll go wherever they want to pay me. And I don't know, it seems different than what was going on with this team the last few years. Like, McCaffrey is going for himself now too. I thought he was supposed to be the ultimate team player. But look, think about it this way. He had a no trade clause with Carolina. He waived it. He comes to California, you know, he's getting, which means he gets less profit because there's more taxes out here. And all he did was deliver for the 49ers and play every game and be the offensive player of the year. Like, maybe from his perspective, like, hey, do something for me. Do something.
I feel it, man. Like, I do. Like, I understand why. And this whole player, like, me first thing, it should all, I mean, can we be real here? Like, it should be player. You should be thinking about your family and your pay over everything as a professional athlete. I mean, I hate to say that. Now, if it's close, right? Like, I can go here and make this amount of money, or I can go to a team that could win the Super Bowl and make slightly less. Okay, then you weigh it. But if it's like, I can make way more over here versus come here and have a chance to win a Super Bowl and make a lot less. I mean, you have to think of your family. That's more important. Like, a lot of teams, they like to say, like, we're a family. No, your real family's at home, at your house, your wife, your kids, your mother, your father. That's your real family. Those are the people that you have to think of first. And then after that, it becomes team first, right? So it's like, get your payday, and then you can prioritize team. You know, Debo's already paid. So now he can focus on what's best for the team. Trent Williams is already paid. He can focus on what's best for the team now, but you got to get that first part done first, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like the Niners are now bending over backwards to try to work something out with Ayuk, who has his grievance because he's not making $30 million a year. And I just seems like, from, maybe I'm projecting, but if I were McCaffrey, I'd think, I'm better than Ayuk. I was the offensive player of the year, not him. What are we talking about here? Like, this guy gets $30 million a year and I'm expected to show up to OTAs for 11? No.
Not guaranteed either. Yeah.
No. You want me to show up? You want to give me, because we're going to talk about Bosa in a second. Kyle called Bosa and explained to him why it was in his interest, in the team's interest, for him to be there, and asked if he disagreed. And Bosa was like, no, I don't disagree. But he wasn't planning on being here so early at OTAs until Kyle asked him. You can't make that request with Christian McCaffrey because he would have his own. Yeah. Clearly.
Bosa's already been paid. He's one of those guys, right? Like Trent, like Debo. Yeah. Bosa's already taken care of what was important first, which is his family, his money. And he sat out all freaking last year waiting to get that Same thing BA is doing, same thing CMC wants to do. So, like, yes, it looks great now because he's already got that bag and he can be team first because he's already in the position to afford to be team first. But when you haven't got your big payday, you have to think your family first, your actual family first, which is the people at home, not the 49ers family. It's just not reality, not how it works. It's business. It's professional sports. And you got to be professional. You got to get your money. So I understand why McCaffrey's doing what he's doing. I think Brandon Ayuk, I see a lot of people talking about Brandon Ayuk, like he's being selfish. Like, get real. Like, if you were in that situation, you would be chasing what's most important, which is providing generational money for your family. And, you know, it's convenient for Nick Bosa to be able to show up now because he's already got that.
All I know is this team thought they were the best team in football last year. They thought they were going to win the Super Bowl, and they approached the offseason with that kind of mentality. We're the best. You know, we should have proven it last year, but Purdy got hurt. We're going to prove it this year. And they stayed healthy, and they got to the Super Bowl, and they didn't prove it. And this year seems like a whole different attitude. It's not like, hold us back. We got something to prove. It's like, I need more money. Hey, me too. Oh, that's what we're doing this off. I also need more money.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And it's going to be even more so next year. I mean, I think, you know, not only is it because I don't think it's necessarily as much because they went to the Super Bowl, lost, and I don't think that's really it. It's just the contracts are up right now, and next year even more contracts are going to be up. So you're going to see a lot of people with this same mentality. You know, it's one of the benefits of this coming season. I think a lot of people are playing for the bag, but right now you got Brandon Ayuk who wants to get compensated for what he's done. You got Christian McCaffrey who wants guaranteed money. Like, I don't even know if you need to pay Christian McCaffrey more, but you need to guarantee him that he's going to get some money as a running back. I think that's probably what's most important to Christian right now. So I get it, man. And we're going to see a lot more next year.
Yeah. Like, theoretically, if he goes to practice and gets injured and it's really, 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 really serious and it affects his career, the Niners could cut him and he'd have no guaranteed money left. Theoretically. So maybe it's not in his interest to go to practice. He doesn't have to in May unless the Niners make it worth his while. If that's the case, like, maybe they should just guarantee his salary for this year. I don't know. Like, how much do you want to win the Super Bowl? Okay. Like, you know that this grievance you had with Bosa, not grievance, but this holdout with Bosa last year didn't help the team, didn't help Bosa. It was bad. The year before with Debo, when he wasn't there all offseason, it didn't help Debo. It didn't help the team. Like, if you want to win the Super Bowl, do you really want to win? What do you want to win, the Super Bowl or this negotiation? And if you do win this negotiation, how much money do you save and what does it cost you on the field? Like, don't you just want McCaffrey there?
Yeah, like break this down for me, Grant.
Yeah.
Break this down for me. You're an NFL player. Three things. Get paid, Hall of Fame, Super Bowl. What order do you have those things in?
Get paid's one.
Get paid's number one.
Hall of Fame's two. Super Bowl's three. Even though you say it's a team sport, but the individual accolades are what matter for a lot of these players. Yeah.
I think if you got an honest answer from almost every player, that's it. They want to get paid. They would love to make the Hall of Fame. And then it's win a Super Bowl. I think that's the reality that fans don't really want to accept.
Okay. I'm going to come down hard on McCaffrey right now just because I feel like we're older. Like, he skipped out on Stanford at the end, and now he's not going to OTAs. Fine. Like, a lot of people don't go to OTAs. But you know who did, I think, pretty sure, all the time? Jerry Rice. You want to be that level of player, like, the best. You have touchdowns in 17 straight games? Like, that's what Jerry did. That's the standard. And I just don't understand someone who's supposed to be the best, like, not. You have to hold him back. I thought with Jerry, you had to hold him back. I saw Jerry in practice a few years ago. He was on the field. He's in his 50s. He's on the field doing the drills. It was freaking, like, I don't know, man. Come on, McCaffrey. You should be there. Well, Bosa's there.
Jerry Bosa wanted to be the best. Jerry wanted to be the best. Huh? And not everyone's like that. Kobe was like that. Jordan was like that. Jerry's like that.
I thought McCaffrey was like that. He was there last year. He was the offensive player of the year. I thought that was his standard. And maybe he just, maybe not anymore. I don't know.
Well,
it's too bad.
Let's be real, though. If Christian McCaffrey's out there grinding, working on himself, is OTAs what's going to make him the best version of himself, or is just working hard and grinding going to make him the best version of himself? Does OTAs matter for Christian McCaffrey, or does it matter more for the Niners with the you Christian McCaffrey's here?
That's a great question. That's a great question. I think one, it does help. He's supposed to be the leader of the team, a captain, and shows everyone else this matters. I mean, that's why they asked Bosa to be here. Like, if you don't show up, no one's going to be here. That matters. Like, you will, your presence will make this more serious. And then you're trying to install a new offense. Like, how much can you really do without McCaffrey is the offense. What do you, that seems kind of tough to install whatever you're trying to install. So,
yeah,
it's not ideal. Also, like, you're paying your coaches a lot of money, right? Bobby Turner, he means something. He's not there. You're not coaching him. He's not getting better. This is what happened with Bosa last year. Bosa said he couldn't work on his hand movement and stuff. His hand usage. Like, yeah, that's what you do in practice. That's what you can't do at home. That's why they pay Chris Kocurek $2 million a year or whatever. Stuff matters. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe McCaffrey will be the offensive player of the year again this year. I doubt it.
He probably won't be. But here's the solution. Guarantee him some money. I don't know. Yeah. I just, you got to get... You can't have the same expectation for Christian McCaffrey in this situation as you have for Nick Bosa, who's already paid and guaranteed. You know what I mean? Like, guarantee him some money, and then I'm sure he would show up. Christian's a great team guy when it's appropriate, but right now, number one priority for Christian is get paid. Uh-oh. Grant Cohn, are you frozen, brother? Is it me or Grant? Let me know. My Wi-Fi's been bad. I don't know. Grant got a brand new computer he's going to be installing here shortly. So I don't know if it's his computer, his Wi-Fi, my Wi-Fi. Am I frozen or is Grant frozen? Let me know in the chat. Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, we almost had two Grants. Show. We almost had two Grants there for a second. That was pretty...
That's high-tech stuff. It looked like the show was glitching, but really it was high-tech next-level stuff.
Yeah, that would have been sick. Yeah.
We talked about McCaffrey. Maybe he'll be back this week and it's nothing. You know who is here is Nick Bosa. And he said he wasn't planning on showing up until week two, but that Kyle called him, Kyle Shanahan, and explained why it was in his interest to go to OTAs and why it was in the team's interest. And he asked Nick if he disagreed. Nick said, oh, absolutely not. What do you think of Kyle calling Bosa directly and asking him to come to OTA?
Maybe he knew Brandon Ayuk wouldn't be there. He knew Juwan wasn't going to be there. He knew CMC wasn't going to be there. And he was like, come on, man, please. Like, it feels like that. But, I mean, again, I think it's easier for Bosa to be there. He's already got pay, and it is good that he's there. Ideally, you want all these captains and leaders at OTAs, you know, being leaders, showing the rookies how things are done and that you're all in on this team and you're motivated. It's just not reality for Christian like it is for Bosa, because Bosa's got guaranteed life-changing money. And I know Christian's been paid already, and it's not like the guy's broke, but he has an opportunity to get another contract. So he's being smart. With Bosa, it makes sense. You're already good. You got guaranteed millions and millions of dollars. And it probably is good for Bosa to be there, because he didn't have the best year last year. He needs to be in football shape. Whatever he was doing at home on his own individually didn't really prepare him for actual football. And I think that's a big reason why he struggled a little bit last year and wasn't himself. So I think it's good for Bosa. It's good for the 49ers, and it's good for Kyle.
If Bosa weren't out there, then that would mean there'd be no Bosa. No Warner, no Trent, no Treverius Ward, no Hufanga, no Greenlaw, no McCaffrey, no Kittle, no Jennings, no IU, like no team. And the young guys aren't going to see what it looks like. They're not going to get the right models. They're not going to see, like, not just from technique perspective, but like intensity, all of it. And really the whole attitude of the team, it just doesn't matter. If Bosa doesn't show up, it seems like from Kyle's perspective, he needed Bosa. And on offense, I wouldn't be surprised if he called Debo and did the same thing. Debo, we need you there.
Yeah.
We need you.
Debo's there.
Yeah.
Debo's there. I mean, it doesn't seem like that's a Debo thing to do, honestly. Like, I mean, and no offense, but like, seems like he would be the kind of guy to show up later on, but maybe he did call him. And it is important. It's important for all the reasons you laid out. And I think Kyle really needed one of these guys, Bosa maybe on offense, or excuse me, Debo on offense and Bosa on defense to come and be that leader. I think it's major because, like you said, if they weren't there, who would be?
And like you have to understand, they don't want to be there. Like Bosa made it pretty clear. Like, yeah, I'm, you know, doing Kyle a favor, doing the team a favor. Like, yeah. He even said that what he does back home is more strenuous, and he called it active recovery. OTA
recovery. Yeah,
he called it active recovery as opposed to whatever he's doing. So it really sounded like the way he talked was that he was doing the team a favor. He was doing Kyle a favor, and really what he gets out of this is like rest, recovery, and being around the guys. Like he graces people with his presence. That's what he's doing right now. And later in the interview, they asked him, like, what do you think of the 18-game schedule? They're trying to, you know, push another game on this. And he's like, you know, it'd be nice if they shortened the offseason program if they did that. And it's like, I don't want to be here. Can I make that clear? But I'm doing it as a favor. So, I mean, most of these guys don't want to be here at this time of year. The fact that they were here last year said something about the team last year, and the fact they're not says something about the team this year, in my opinion. But maybe they'll all be here this week.
Yeah, and I mentioned that Bosa being here in OTAs is probably good for him and his preparation, but that's probably not true. It's more training camp. He missed all of training camp last year, and I think that's probably what put him behind the eight ball a little bit for the season and got him off to a slow start. But being at OTAs versus what his offseason program sounds like, to him at least, his offseason program he does individually is much more strenuous than what he's doing at OTAs. So I think this benefits the Niners more than Bosa probably, and benefits Kyle being able to show that, hey, Bosa's here, Debo's here. So, yeah.
Yeah. So Bosa had more to say. He was asked about Nick Sorensen. And you know, like, what do you know about him? And he went into detail. He's like, oh, you know, he's a real good leader. He's good in front of the team. He can talk to players. And I think he's going to be a lot like what DeMeco was for us.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was like, why? Like, because of his energy? And he goes, no, they have different energy, but just his sort of overall knowledge of the scheme inside and out and how it all ties together. And I thought that was really interesting. Like, Nick doesn't want to change anything about the defense. Nick is the defensive coordinator. And what he likes about the new guy is that he knows the system. And Nick Sorensen called him after he got the job so that Bosa could congratulate him. Quickly after that, Bosa was asked, have you talked to Brandon Staley? He said, no. Haven't even said hello to him.
Yeah.
So it seems clear that this is who the players want. This is the players' choice. Someone that they know, someone that they like, someone who calls them up and says hello, and someone who won't change anything. And I think the front office and the coaching staff maybe wants to change some things, which is why Brandon Staley's here. Kind of interesting.
I talked about this. I had a show this morning at 9 a.m. and I talked about this. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be real, keep it 100% honest with you people watching. Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Staley are the defensive coordinators for this team. Nick Sorensen is the guy that's the face, the communicator to the players, that's going to stand on the sideline and have the players feel like it's the same old thing. He knows what we're doing. He knows us. He's a familiar face. We can trust him, respect him. I don't think they respected Wilkes. And a lot of that is because he's an outside guy coming in, trying to change things up. And I don't think the players, the veterans that have been here for a long time, responded well to that. I think Kyle knows this. And I think if it was Kyle's choice, he probably would have just made Brandon Staley the defensive coordinator. But because he's aware of this situation, he's like, Nick, you're going to be on the sidelines. You're the defensive coordinator. And really, Kyle and Staley are going to be game planning this thing week in and week out. And behind the scenes, Staley's going to be up in the booth calling things down to Sorensen, telling him what he's seeing. And I think that's how this is really going to be structured.
Yeah, and it shows how much power Nick Bosa has. Like, Nick Bosa clearly didn't approve of Steve Wilkes, got fired. Nick Bosa gave his stamp of approval to Nick Sorensen. I like him. He knows the system. He's a leader. He's the defensive coordinator now. And as a quid pro quo, he has to show up to OTAs. Like, hey, man, we paid you. We bent over backwards. We did everything you wanted. you need to be here now and take ownership of this team since you have such a say over who the coaches are. He's like, okay, fine. Yeah.
Well, you know, Bosa's brother, Joey, does not have a great relationship with Brandon Staley because Brandon Staley was his head coach for the Chargers, and there's a reported and noted bad chemistry between the two. And, you know, obviously Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa have talked about this. I promise you that, right? That's his brother. And so Joey Bosa's opinion of Brandon Staley has to have some kind of effect on Nick Bosa's opinion of Brandon Staley. It would have never worked out if he was the defensive coordinator. You would have seen the same problem that you had with Steve Wilks, where a lot of guys just weren't buying into what Steve Wilks was trying to do. They wouldn't have been able to do that with Brandon Staley. I think Kyle probably would have wanted Brandon Staley to be that guy. But you're the guy on the sidelines. You're the face. You're the communicator. You're the consistency. You're the guy that they've been seeing for the last few years. So it feels like the same old stuff. We don't have to change anything. But really, I think Kyle and Brandon Staley are behind the scenes pulling the strings.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's going to be tough for Sorensen. Like, at what point does he lose the respect of the players if they feel like he's just a mouthpiece? Like, hey, man, do we talk to you about playing time or do we talk to Staley? Hey, I just got benched. Was that your call? Or do I just go straight above you? Remember when Jimmy Ward got benched and he was like, D'Amico, should I even talk to you or should I go to Kyle? He's like, talk to Kyle.
Kyle.
It's not what I do here.
It's really Kyle. Kyle decides who plays where. On the defense too, on the whole team, offense, defense. Who, as came out this week, he's the guy. He's the general manager. Kyle's the general manager, the head coach, the offense coordinator, defense coordinator. He's all of that stuff, and he has guys below him that help him with his responsibilities. But really, it's Kyle, and I think the pecking order on defense is Kyle, really silently Staley, and then Nick Sorensen.
I just think it's interesting that Bosa and the defense has clearly scapegoated Wilks for their issues last year. Like, we're good. He just didn't understand what we do. So he's out. And now we have a defensive coordinator who gets it and was here for D'Amico Ryans. Like, all right, well, then your pass rush better be top five again. Your run defense better be top five again. Because both of those things last year were bad. I mean, the Niners ranked 20th in sack percentage last year. They were one of the worst pass rushes in the league statistically. And part of the problem is that they don't do much schematically. It's just a four-man rush. It's the same four guys rushing the same four rushing lanes all the time. They don't do much blitzing. Their blitzes aren't that creative. And Bosa, what they want to do is get back to what they've been doing. Like, don't you need to evolve? Yeah. Isn't that why Staley's here?
Yeah. Bosa was vocal about not wanting to stop what they were. Like, they want to keep it simple and just let the edges get after it, which I think that's a mistake. I think you always need to be evolving. You always need to be more complex, or else you're going to have Pete Carroll's defense in Seattle pretty soon. And you damn near did last year. I mean, they had a lot of talent on this team, but the play calling was not up to par. And it seems like that's what they wanted. And it's just like, well, if that's what you want, produce. Because you had 9.5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
You need to get up into the 12s, 13s at least. And then, you know, you'll have a leg to stand on. But I really think that's the structure of the defense this coming year. And they have way too much talent to not be a top five in every category defensively.
I agree. Before we move on away from Bosa, it occurs to me that he is the most powerful player the 49ers have ever had. If you think about it. I mean, I don't know. I didn't covered well, Steve Young in Montana, but he's making $34 million a year. Like, he has a ton of power in this organization. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, trying to think of who could be more powerful as a player.
Brock one day, but not now. Jimmy never had power like this.
I don't even think Brock ever will. I mean, maybe if he gets to the point where he's like winning Super Bowls in second contract. But
right,
I don't think
because it's always going to be Kyle's offense, but this is Bosa's defense, clearly.
Yeah,
it is.
Paid player in 49ers history, right? Like
he knows what he has ideas about what the scheme should be, about who the defensive coordinator should be, and he makes enough money that he gets to exert his influence. So, hopefully, he's right. Yeah. Hopefully, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Nick, Sorensen and Bosa running things.
Couple of Nicks. Okay. Jawan Jennings also has a grievance. Does this amuse you, or do you think
it all amuses me. Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing he wants an extension. I'm guessing the Niners haven't offered him one. They offered him a second round tender, which is like almost $5 million, but it seems like he may not be on this team long term. He's got 1 year left in his deal. They don't seem to be offering him an extension. They just drafted two wide receivers. Jennings might feel the same way as Ayuk, like, hey, man, I'm not going to practice if you don't give me an extension. And I want to be here long term, too. Like, keeping him long term would be cheap. It probably would only cost him like a two year extension. Is it something they should entertain, or is this guy just not part of the future plans?
He's not part of the future plans. I hate to say it, Juwan. And he's coming off the Super Bowl where he probably could have been MVP or close to it. Juwan probably is riding a high off the Super Bowl. Like, man, I was about to be the Super Bowl MVP. You know, like, that's probably how he's feeling. But in the reality, the 49ers drafted two wide receivers to replace Juwan for one after this coming season. And possibly Debo or IU, who knows? But they don't have plans of keeping all three of these wide receivers past this year. And if you look at the history of the 49ers, they're not going to pay their third wide receiver. It's hard to even justify paying your number one and number two receiver in this league, but you're going to pay your third wide receiver? No, don't do that. Go get a rookie. I'd be giving Juwan Jennings exactly what the 49ers are offering him right now. And I like Juwan. He's awesome. He blocks his ass off. He's a leader. He sets the tone. He frustrates the defense. He comes through in the clutch. There's a reason why they call him third and one. He's dope, but he's the third receiver on this team. You can't afford to pay. You're already paying the first receiver. You're already the most expensive wide receiver room in the NFL already. You're already paying Debo Samuel. You're about to pay Brandon Ayuk, possibly. You can't pay your third receiver as well. That's what Cowan and Pearsall are here for.
Yeah.
So I understand why he's holding out. I understand why he wants the money, but that's not going to come this year, Juwan. It's going to come after this season. This is your contract season right now. I get why you're not here, but ultimately you're going to sign this thing and you're going to show up and you're going to play in a contract season for the 49ers.
That's true. And then you'll play somewhere else next year, and he knows it. I just think it's interesting. Like, the Niners are really playing hardball with their players. Like, hey, technically, Juwan, like, we have your rights, and you got to play, and you're going to have to play for $5 million. Sorry. And yeah. Brandon, if you don't want to negotiate with us or meet us in the middle, then you'll have to play for $14 million. Sorry. And it seems like the player's attitude is, okay, well, if that's your attitude, then we don't technically have to come to OTA. Sorry. Go ask Nick.
And I think they're both right for both of those things they're saying, probably. Yeah.
Well, Juwan, good luck. You brought up an interesting topic on Twitter, so why don't you introduce this one?
Yeah, so I like, it's off season, right? So I like to think about quarterbacks. Obviously, my favorite position in probably sports, and particularly I like talking about quarterbacks, and particularly 49ers quarterbacks. I always think about how I would rank them. I asked a question about a month or two ago how people would rank 49ers quarterbacks in history. I think obviously goes Joe Montana, Steve Young, even though Steve Young's my number one. And then it starts to be debatable between guys like Garcia, Colin Kaepernick, and Purdy. And I noticed a lot of people have Purdy above both of those guys, which I find interesting. I think you can make an argument for Garcia. He was really damn good. But if you're basing everything on Brock, who's done really well, it's been a year and a half. If you compare Brock Purdy a year and a half versus Caps, year and a half where he balled out, went to the NFC championship game, went to a Super Bowl, lost at the end, kind of like Brock did. Cap in that time period was taking over games.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was the offense at times.
Yeah.
I mean, against the Pack, I think he holds the record for most rushing yards in a playoff game or ever by a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He literally won you games on his back. Brock hasn't really done that yet, to be honest. So if I have to compare the Cap's year and a half to Brock's year and a half, and I'm basing it on just a year and a half from Brock Purdy, I would lean Cap is over him. Now, that being said, because of the way that Brock Purdy plays the game, because of the way this team is structured and the offense he's in, I think Brock Purdy could emerge and have a better career than Colin Kaepernick and end up being better than Garcia and Cap if he continues on this trajectory. But right now, based on a year and a half, I'd have to go Cap.
Yeah, Cap was also better in the Super Bowl, I want to say. I mean, he threw for 300 yards. He threw a touchdown, threw a pick. He ran for 62 yards and a touchdown. I thought he was, and their offense scored 31 points in that game. But at the end of his second season, he went to the NFC Championship game and threw two picks in the fourth quarter and fumbled twice. I thought that was kind of the beginning of the end of Cap. Like, that was kind of embarrassing, even though he carried him for three quarters in that game in Seattle. But man, he melted down at the end, and I never thought he was quite the same after that. He's kind of a slow decline. Purdy hasn't done that. He hasn't done that. And I don't think Purdy's going to have that that quick, inevitable decline that Colin had. That was so weird. He really couldn't improve. And I think that was 10 years ago, but there are reasons for it. I don't think Brock has like the same mental barriers that Kaepernick had in terms of mechanics and the cerebral part of the game.
So Cap, there's a couple things. There's a couple things. With Cap, I think he gets unfairly blamed for the collapse of that team. The team around him collapsed as well, right? He did not, towards the end of after a couple years, he didn't have the team that Brock Purdy's playing on. So I got to be fair with him in that regard. But you bring up a good point and why I think Brock Purdy could probably ultimately will surpass Cap and have a better career. And that's that Brock Purdy cares, wants to be the best version of himself, constantly refining his craft. He is a football player and a quarterback, and that's his 100% focus. Whereas Cap kind of changed from when he started with the team. He's a very humble guy, and then got to the point where he had a different attitude and personality and didn't think he needed to improve, didn't think he needed to work on mechanics. He literally said that. Whereas Brock is like constantly, I need to work on this to get better. And that's why I think Brock's ultimately going to have a better career. But the reason why Cap fell off was definitely in part because of his focus at his craft. But there was also a collapse of the team around him. So it's not entirely on Cap.
True. There was also one thing that Cap, couple things that Cap had going for him early on. One, he played behind a hell of an offensive line. Really good offensive line.
Really good.
And the threat of the zone read, like defenses were still kind of figuring out how to stop it. And he was so dangerous running the ball early on that I think a lot of defenses didn't even really rush him. They were like, just keep him in the freaking pocket. Like, and if you go back and watch the NFC Championship game where he just eviscerated Mike Nolan and the Falcons defense, like they weren't rushing him. And there was just a lot of play action and a lot of huge pockets and time and space to throw. And he didn't always have that, but that's something that Purdy doesn't necessarily have. He has to create his own time and space a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, very different quarterbacks, right? Like Colin Kaepernick was just an elite, phenomenal athlete with an absolute cannon. Brock Purdy is very quick, but he's not like a fast guy. He's not going to run for 200 yards in a game like Cap did. But what Brock is really good at is the processing. He's a very quick processor, sees it quick, goes through his progressions, gets it off. So in that regard, Brock is better. Very different quarterbacks. You know, Brock plays the quarterback position more like a traditional quarterback. Cap was just a freak athlete who dominated the league for a short period of time. And so that's why I think Brock's ultimately going to surpass Cap. But just based on the year and a half, I would have Cap over him.
What's interesting, too, is like, if Jim Harbaugh had 24, 25-year-old Kaepernick and 24, 25-year-old Purdy on the same team, I think he would start Kaepernick. But if Shanahan had those two players, I don't even think Kaepernick would be on the team.
Yeah.
You know, Purdy's such a great fit for what Kyle wants to do and has assembled here, all the quick passes. You would want Kaepernick for an offense that has like more long developing routes, a better offensive line, because he has such a strong arm.
Yeah, agreed. I think Purdy, the best thing about Purdy is his mental, his mindset, who he is as a person, who he wants to become, and I think that's ultimately going to pay off for Brock, and he'll have a longer, more successful career than Cap was able to have. But that year and a half, because A lot of times it feels like we've had Brock for a long time, but he's really only played for a year and a half. But so if you compare that year and a half to what Cap did in a year and a half, Cap had a better year and a half. He just did. But that doesn't mean that Brock ultimately isn't going to be a better quarterback and have a better career. And I think that's probably what direction it's going to go in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just interesting how Harbaugh did things. Like, he had a Purdy-esque quarterback in Alex Smith. Like, Alex Smith, that second year with Harbaugh, was completing 70% of his throws and having the best season of his career. And Harbaugh still thought it wasn't enough. And he wanted someone who was more of a playmaker, not a point guard distributor type, which is kind of what Purdy and Alex Smith are. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. And I'm sure Kyle would rather have Alex Smith than Colin Kaepernick.
Surely yeah, would. Better fit for his offense. Absolutely.
Yeah. So if Kyle was the coach of that 2012 Niners team, Alex probably gets his job back once he gets hurt.
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. And if Alex gets his job back after he gets hurt, do they win the Super Bowl?
Here's a question I talked about on my show this morning. I want to ask you because it's related. Who's the best loser team the 49ers have had? 2012, 2019, 2023?
I feel like the 2012 team, the defense was kind of falling apart. Like, Justin Smith had a torn tricep he was playing through, and Alden Smith did really nothing in the playoffs or the Super Bowl. Bolden wasn't on that team yet. I feel like this one that just lost this year was like the best team that's lost a Super Bowl in a very long time.
I think it was the best opportunity because of how weak the NFC was, right? I think it was the best opportunity to win a Super Bowl, but I think the 2012 team is better. I think they're more physical. If you look at their trenches, I think they have better guys in the trenches, more physical. I mean, you had Frank Gore, you had Crabtree, you had Delanie Walker, Vernon Davis, Colin Kaepernick, who was one of the best players in the league during that streak. Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, you had good corners, Carlos Rogers, you had Hittner, Goldston. I don't know. I would say 2012 team, to me, if the 2012 team played the 2023 team head up, I would say 2012 wins that game.
They had a better, in the Super Bowl a couple months ago, McCaffrey got shut down on the ground, 33.5 yards per carry. That didn't happen to Gore in the Super Bowl. That didn't happen to Jim Harbaugh's run game.
Yeah, that line, man, it's the trenches. And what's funny, if you look at the Niners are known for their physicality, right? Which I think is a little overblown, honestly. I think there's more physical teams. The Browns are more physical than the 49ers. There's a couple teams that are more physical than the 49ers, but Niners are known for the physicality. That 2012 team was way more physical than the 2023.
It's hard to say the Niners are physical when their offensive line isn't a weapon and their running back is 200 pounds. And I mean, it just, they're a finesse offense. Their running game is finesse. Their defense can be physical at times, although hard to say it's a physical defense when they're kind of not good at stopping the run.
The Greenlaw is physical. Lenore is physical. Huff can be physical. But Warner's, and that's not what Warner's known for necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I think that 2012 team is more physical than this 2023 49ers team. I think they're transitioning a little bit away. And like you said, their run game, it's not a power run game. It's a zone running game, right? Harbaugh was a power running game. Gore's not going to break big ones like Christian on the outside, but he's going to get 4 yards every damn time.
And Cap will break the long ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had Joe Staley in his prime, who may or may not have been better than Trent Williams at 35. Mikey Potty, better than Aaron Banks. Jonathan Goodwin, or was it Daniel Kilgore at this point? Either one, better than Brendel. Yeah. Alex Boone, better than whoever they have at right guard. And Anthony Davis was way better than Colt McKivitz.
Not even close.
Anthony Davis was really good.
Yeah, he's a jerk, but really good.
Yeah, he was a jerk.
Yeah.
But he's good.
Really good.
Now let's take some super chats. Right. Amp the Carolina Niner says, real problems next year when Brock Purdy doesn't show. Are the Niners going to draw this out with Brock next year with the whole? You know who didn't hold out? Fred Warner.
Yeah.
But now he doesn't practice. I
don't think Brock will hold out. I think they'll work it out with Brock. You can't have your quarterback holding out. I don't know, man. Brock would have to do, like, I like Brock, and I think he's top 12, top 10 in the NFL right now as a quarterback. But he would have to really, like, improve even further to get to the points where it's like he's like hold out and they still want to mess. I think if Brock held out, Niners might be like, I don't know, you can't hold out as a quarterback unless you're Patrick Mahomes or somebody like that, man. Josh Allen, those are guys you can hold out. Brock Purdy can't hold out.
Matt Flores, realtor, says IUK CMC JJ feels like a wildcat strike. I don't get it.
Wildcat strike. Oh, wildcat.
Slick like Ninja 247 says McCaffrey Ayuk being out allows others to get touches. That is true. That's the good side of it.
Yeah.
Although they were going to get touches one way or another. Dave Barclay says, just got to family barbecue and I'm way too early. Sitting here burning one down and catching the end of this. Appreciate you guys. What does that mean?
We don't know.
What does that mean? Carlos says, I love you. I love you too, Carlos. Thank you very much. That was nice. That's all the news that we have today. Training camp is in August, but OTAs are this week on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. We'll have more news. Something really interesting is going to happen this week at OTAs. I just feel it.
In your bones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they matter.
Who's going to win the NBA championship finals, Grant?
Dallas.
Probably. Unfortunately.
I don't like Boston. Just not Boston.
I don't like Dallas or Boston. I don't like any of these teams. I wanted Minnesota to win, but that's not happening. Unfortunately.
Mm. All right. Well, it's lunchtime on the West Coast. Thanks for watching, everyone. I have a MacBook Pro. I'm trying to get it set up. I have to install some software to get the microphone working, but I should be able to have it up and running by tomorrow. And thank you for bearing with 6 months of just terrible streams and tech problems. I really appreciate it, everyone.
Yeah.
See you guys.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.